Jesus started this chapter by saying, I am the vine. And as I was just preparing the message, I thought of names of, or nicknames of national teams. The England called themselves what? Lions. We have some that call themselves leopards. Some call themselves super eagles. And we know lions are brave. Leopards are carnivores that devour. But here we find Jesus at the beginning of that chapter saying, I am the vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. The vine is just a plant. And we know plants. When we talk of different types of plants, it's not a big tree. In fact, botanists say the vine is a spreading plant that attaches and spreads to colonize wherever they are. Compare it to lions. Who can stay where a lion is? Or leopard? But there is something so unique about the vine. The botanists say the stem and its root attach to wherever they are. And we know the importance of the stem. My elementary botany tells me that in the stem we have what we call the xylem, which draws water from the root. And then you have the phloem, again, which stores food. So Jesus calling himself the vine. And later on refers to believers as the branches. It means a lot. The branches are always attached to the stems. In fact, if you see any branch that is detached from the stem, what is going to happen to that branch? It's going to wither. Jesus started by saying, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Which means the Father comes to ensure the purpose, the objectives of the vine remain. So when we start this verse, I am the vine. My Father is the gardener. So which means it is an intentional planting. It's not just something that springs up. You know, some of us that have gardens at home, you have your good gardens in which you intentionally plant and you water it. And all of a sudden, you will just see this plant from nowhere. Just what do? You uproot. If you do not uproot, what is going to happen? They will begin to compete for nutrients with the real plant in which you have intentionally planted. God intentionally brought Jesus to us. He gave us Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the vine. I am the spreading plant. I spread. My salvation spreads. My kingdom spreads out. And my Father is there to ensure that the garden remains how he has deemed it fit. And verse 2 says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. We have of the grapevine, it's a fruit. Jesus is saying, every branch that is attached to me will bear fruits. Every branch that is not bearing fruit will be cut off. When it comes to fruitfulness, it started from Genesis 1, verse 22. Genesis 1, verse 22. And God himself says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So our purpose is to be fruitful. We need to bear fruits. We should not be barren. And as believers, we must bear fruits that glorify God. In several places in the Bible, Jesus gives parables of fruitfulness. Remember the parable of the talent? In Matthew 25, 14 to 13, when Jesus gave the parable, the master came, gave his servant 5, gave another 2, gave another 1. They all went out. 1 hid the only talent given. And when Jesus came, what did he do? The 5 produced another 5. The 2 produced another 2. Fruitfulness. And the 1 that failed to produce, what happened? It was cut off. And that 1 taken away and given to the 1 that has 10. Fruitfulness is so important in the schemes of God. And again, we have a life story in Mark chapter 11, 12 to 25. Jesus was hungry. He saw that fig tree far away. And the fig tree has leaves, you know, radiant looking, blossoming from afar, and said, oh, there must be fruit on that tree. He walked down there, and when he got there, what happened? The tree was barren, no fruit. And Jesus cursed the fig tree. And the Bible says by the time they were walking the next day, the fig tree had dried up. Fruitfulness, very, very important to God. But the key thing is, everyone is fruitful. You will say, what am I saying? Yes, everyone produces fruit. But the key question is, what type of fruit are you producing? What type of fruit are you producing? The scripture tells us in Galatians 5, there are 2 types of fruits. 2 types. The fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. The mind that is controlled by the Spirit produces the fruits of the Spirit. And the mind that is controlled by the flesh produces the fruits of the flesh. I've never seen a mango tree bearing or giving fruits of apple. Have you ever seen that? No. An apple tree will produce what? Apple fruit. A mango tree will produce mango fruits. An apple tree cannot produce a mango fruit. Even with the latest or the best of technologies, it cannot. It will only be a mismatch. So the question I want to ask you is, what type of fruit are you producing? What type of fruit am I producing? Let's read on. That Galatians 5, 16 to 21, this is what it says. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are what I've mentioned there. Those are the fruits being produced. That's another set of fruits. Fruits of the flesh. Jesus said, if you are in me and my words are in you, you will produce fruits that will glorify my Father. And remember John 17, 17. It says, sanctify them by the truth. For your word is truth. So is the word of God living in us? Are we actually abiding in the vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ? Let's go on. Galatians 5, 22-25, it says further, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep up in step with the Spirit. So in my life, in your life, are these fruits, those 9 fruits, evident? We call ourselves believers. We come to church. Is it only on Sundays when we come to church we are holy? On Sundays, I am holy today. Then Monday to Saturday, fill in the gap. What type of fruits are you producing? What type of fruit am I producing? Your co-workers at work, can they see Christ in you? Your neighbors, can they see Christ in you? These nine fruits are the evident in our lives. I repeat, love. You can speak in tongues. You can pray and heavens will come down. But the Bible says, if you don't have love, peace. Are you peace lover? Do you encourage peace? Do you fight for peace? Joy. Joy is quite different from happiness. I'm sure you know that. Joy is what the Spirit of God gives you. Even in trauma. Remember, Philip in the morning said, you can still find those things even in troubled times. Peace. Peace is not absence of trouble. Yes, that could be, the whole earth can be, you know, there could be storm everywhere. But because you are with God, you are attached to the source. You feel that peace. Remember when there was storm on the boat, Jesus was busy sleeping and the disciples were running helter-skelter. Peace. Forbearance. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You cannot bear these fruits if you are not attached, if you are not attached to the vine. The only way to bear these fruits is to be attached to the vine. As the branches take their nourishment. Remember I told you, the vine, its stem and the roots attach very well. So the root can draw water and pass on to the stem. And when food is produced, it's there. Stored in the phloem, in the stem. If you need nutrients, if you need that support to be able to stand, you have to be attached to the vine. We cannot do it on our own. Forget it. By our own wisdom, no. Our own strength, it will fail us. In fact, the scripture says, we do not wage wars against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities of powers. They are there to derail, to make us stray away. It does not matter how great a storm is, if the root, remember, was it last year, 2 years ago, when we studied Daniel? Yes, the pastor told us here, the root is right down there. No matter the storm can move up and down, it stays. But if the root is shaky, what happens? Any little storm, it goes. We have to be attached. And how do you get yourself attached to the vine? Since we have given our lives to Christ, sanctify them by the truth, for your word is truth. the words of God in here. The words of God in here. Are they in you? You cannot give what you don't have. Never that word not abet is an insurance law. You cannot give a title if you don't have the title. It is only what you have that you give. Do you have the word of God stored in you? So that when trouble times come, you can begin to use the sword of the Spirit. Do you take time out to spend with God? Or do you hurriedly, early in the morning, oh, Jesus, you understand. I'll see you later. Off you go. Do you take time out to spend with God? Are you a growing Christian? Or is just marching? You know, if you are a police and they are marching, they say, march time, you just be marching on the same spot. You are not moving forward, you are not moving backwards. How were you last year? And where are you this year? As we have our plans to grow in our career, to grow in this, to grow in that, what about your plan to grow spiritually? If our child comes back home, she was in year 9, 2 years ago, year 9 last year, year 9 this year, will we be happy? God is telling you, he's telling me, we need to grow. We need to be attached, making sure that nothing takes us away from his desires. But you know, all this is not just for fun. There is a unique and important privilege attached to this. And this is in John 15:7. Hear it. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. What? You know, this is a check given to you. Sign check. They didn't say, just put whatsoever thing there. Whatever you like, put it there. If you abide in me, that is the condition. And my words abide in you. So it means, see, sorry, Ian and Vicky, I'm going to make an example of you now. Okay? I am so sure, been married for over 30 years now, without anybody calling here, he knows what Vicky wants. He knows our desires. This, yes, and vice versa. So when you walk with God and God is in you, you can easily pray what is in God's mind. That is the privilege we have. If you abide in the branch and its words live in you, you will ask for anything. Anything. It didn't say some things. Anything. And it shall be done for you. So it means at times when we pray and we don't get answers to our prayer, go and check yourself. Let's check ourselves. Let us check ourselves. I'm going to end like this. Romans 8:19. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. The whole world is waiting for the manifestations of us believers of God. When are we going to arise from our slumber and shine? As said in Isaiah 60, it says, arise and shine, for your light has come. When are we going to arise? When are we going to take control? That will only happen when we bear fruits. Fruits that glorify God. Fruits that showcase God in our lives. May the good Lord help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us just bow our heads and just have a think. What type of fruits am I producing? Is love evident in my life? Am I showcasing Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ. What type of ambassador am I?
Loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the reminder tonight of the need to abide within you. We thank you for the promise and the certainty that you are there always for us. And that, Lord, your desire is for us to abide with you, to remain in you, to bear fruit for you, to be witnesses for you. And Father, we pray for those that we know who are struggling at this time. And when we struggle, we recognize that at times like this, that we find it hard to bear fruit for you because other things seem to take over. And so, Father God, we lift up our sisters and brothers, our families, our friends, our work colleagues, whoever they may be, who just need a touch from you at this time, Lord, that you will just surround them with your love and with your peace, the peace that we've been hearing about tonight. May they know that certainty. May they know that miracle for themselves. May they know that answer to what feels like an unbelievable prayer. And yet, because they ask and because they are remaining, Lord, you do. That which seems beyond our imagination. But with your power at work in our lives, you can indeed do things that are beyond our understanding. And for that we say thank you. Be with those, Lord, who mourn. Be with those who are facing hospital procedures and operations or awaiting hospital tests. Lord, be with those that we care about, we pray. Amen.